Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Well, good morning to you. I'm Andy. It's 10 minutes after. Marianne is here today, my little princess.
Good
queen. What are you? I guess you're Miss Universe. Does that make you a princess or a queen?
It's a queen. It's a forever queen. Okay. Forever queen. Yes.
Forever queen. I love that. Yes. Marianne Hamilton, of course, our senior fitness guru, trying to keep us all from dying too young. Now, it didn't work on me. I almost died a couple of weeks ago,
a month ago,
but it actually had nothing to do with fitness. It had to do with poison in the blood. And
it's playing with those grandchildren. It'll get you every time.
Well, maybe so. But I'm still here, and you're still here, and we're happy.
I was realizing this morning, this is the first time I've seen you since the July 4th talent show.
Oh, yeah.
When I was having heat stroke. And it was a hot, hot day.
It was a very hot day. And I have to say, you were kind of hard on yourself. You're like, oh, I don't know. I thought you did a fantastic job.
Oh, no. I got to a point where I couldn't really speak because my mouth was so dry and I was so hot and having a really hard time.
Well, you did great, though.
Well, thank you very much. Great. It was wonderful having you there.
You've got Janine on up there with you, too, toward
and
the
Shelley.
End. And, and who was the other one?
Shelly Gish.
Shelly Gish, yeah. A bunch of queens on the stage.
They're all going to Paris for Paris Fashion Week.
Really?
This month, yes. Wow. Yes. Unfortunately, there's a minimum height requirement, which I do not make.
No, you're kidding.
No, I'm not.
You're not kidding?
I'm not kidding. You have to be 5'4". You know, they can't.
Really?
Yes. If you're modeling a gown that a designer has just created,
you have to be 5'4".
They don't want to have to cut off too much because then they can't resell it. So in my case, they'd have to cut off half the gown.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah. So there are 8 of our senior queens who are going from all over the United States, and they're leaving on the, I think, the 18th, and they'll be there for a week doing various events, photo shoots, and then actually modeling in a runway show.
Now, I don't know if you heard me complaining about the airplane ride. So you're not very big, which is, I know there are probably things in life that I can't reach that, or I can't, but for the most part, I would think being small is actually an advantage in many areas.
However, inevitably, I'm in the middle seat,
and you've got big
between two really big people who decide that they can use my lap as their armrest, which is always exciting.
That's not cool, but yeah, we were in a packed airplane it was straight Amsterdam to Vegas straight, and there were no empty seats. And as you know, an airplane, it's got like 6 bathrooms for 600 people.
Right.
And you're stuck in this metal tube going 550 miles an hour over the Atlantic Ocean and Greenland. And
you don't want to think about that.
No, it was tough. And 2-3 hours, I was okay. 4-5, starting
you being
to wonder.
A big guy, that has to be a challenge. Yeah.
7-9 hours. It's like, and you can't even really walk around much because it's so crowded. People are leaning into the aisles. And
do you sleep on planes?
No.
And
this was a day flight too. Oh. It was not a nighttime. The way out, it was actually a nighttime flight, and I didn't sleep much, but I got some sleep, and that helped. But on this day flight, not a wink.
Oh, so you were probably a mess when you got home.
Yeah. It took a couple of days to get my sanity back.
I lost mine a long time ago, so I wouldn't know the difference. It's okay.
It's out there somewhere.
Somewhere floating over the Atlantic, actually, yeah.
Yeah, it went AWOL, but we'll find it.
Okay.
We'll find
it. You seem pretty together, and I'm glad you've recovered from your illness before your trip. That was really scary.
It was, yeah. And thanks to the doctor. I have nothing but praise for Intermountain Health. I mean, I've been in the hospital 5 times, I think, in the last 8 years, and they've always been just fantastic at helping me. Now, I do not advocate staying in a hotel if you want to rest, right? Because there, every couple of hours, somebody's stabbing you or something, right?
Oh, in the hospital,
hospital. But
waking you up to give you a sleeping pill.
They're trying to save your life. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let me wake you up so you can sleep. I was sleeping
just fine. Thank you very much. Yeah.
But they've always been fantastic. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that they got me so I could go to Europe.
That's fantastic. So, they do take fantastic care. And every single employee, from the first person at the reception desk to the surgeons, is just, you know, caring and lovely and wonderful.
And you know who was maybe the best employee, the best over there in Intermountain Health? We had the lady that delivers our meal, the food services lady. And I don't know her last name, but her first name was Megan.
Okay.
And she was cheerful and happy and wonderful. And I was like, Why can't everybody be like Megan? She was the happiest person I'd ever met.
So. You know, how bad can it be bringing food to people?
That's right.
I mean, I always thought in life I'd like to be a florist because aside from people who are having, you know, funeral arrangements to be made, who's not happy to get flowers?
That's true.
You'd brighten up their day.
I was a flower in college for a while. I was a flower delivery guy.
Oh, nice.
I drove their little flower van around. It's funny, it had dents all over. I didn't put any of the dents in it, but everybody thought I did because I was driving it. But there were 90% of the time people are so happy to get flowers. There is that 10% of funeral flowers.
Yeah, and stuff. That's a hard one.
Kind of sad. So. But it was kind of a fun job.
Yeah, they're probably happy to see you.
I worked at a place called the Flower Basket in Provo, Utah.
Oh, that sounds sweet.
It doesn't exist anymore, but it was kind of cool.
Yeah. So, did you put it out of business or what?
No, it was still there when I left.
Oh, okay.
But since then, it has gone out. But anyway, okay. Marianne Hamilton is here today, and she, for those that don't know, she won Miss Senior Universe a couple of years ago now, right?
2023.
And she also is an water aerobics instructor.
Correct, with the City of St. George.
But you don't get in the water when you...
I do, actually.
Oh, you do now?
Andy, I bought a waterproof head mic.
Really?
Yes.
How cool is that?
It's so cool. So I was able to use that. At the Aquatic Center in Santa Clara, because it's, you know, it's an indoor tent.
The shack, yeah.
And on Monday, well, let's see. My understanding is they turn the AC off on Sunday to save some money. I have the first class on Monday morning.
Oh, and it's hot.
And it was summertime. It was about 447 degrees in there. So you know, last 10 years I've been jumping around up and on the deck, you know, doing the exercises and just dying in the summertime. So I Googled to see if there were such things as waterproof head mics, and lo and behold, I found one. Got in the water, and some of the people were freaked out because it's different, you know, and they want things the way they've always been. And actually, about 10 minutes into it, one of the ladies came over and said, "We all took a vote. We want you back on the deck." And I said, "Guess what? Not your decision." So
it's been nice of you, but no.
Yeah, thank you. Anyway, so we've sort of accommodated, you know, how to make this work, and it's been much, much, much more comfortable for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the water instead of
in the water. Yeah.
Out of the water.
And a good workout for me as well. It's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife bought some, those water weights, she calls them.
Aqua weights. Yeah.
Now, I expected like dumbbells, like real dumbbells, and they were going to be heavy. Yeah. They're foam. Yeah. The weight comes when you put them underwater and you get the resistance of the water.
It's amazing.
I didn't know she was doing it. I didn't know that. I thought they were just going to be regular weights.
Oh, no.
They were waterproof.
You have to be able to put them in the water. I also learned, this is a funny story, 3 weeks ago that my iPhone is waterproof.
you learned the hard way?
I learned the hard way. I went to pick up a towel and my phone unfortunately was on top of it and yanked it and went flying into the deep end. And fortunately, a friend went and...
Oh, you didn't dive in yourself and get it?
No, I didn't. I was up on the deck by that time. Went, oh, no. So she was already in the water and got it for me.
Years ago, I was doing a radio broadcast for Dixie College. Mm-hmm. And they had a very good baseball team. Went back to the Junior College National Tournament in Grand Junction, Colorado, and they won the tournament. They were national champions.
Nice.
And we went back to the hotel after winning the thing. You know, we were staying in the same hotel with the team, and they took the catcher, who was the MVP of the tournament and had played really well. They took him, and a couple of the guys grabbed him, and they swung him around and threw him into the pool.
Oh.
Well, this would have been, I think it was 04, and... As you know, in 04, not very many phones were waterproof.
No.
His was not, so the guy got to go shopping for a new phone after.
Did the team pay for it?
No, they did not.
Oh, man, that's not good.
So he got the ring or the trophy, but
he lost his phone.
Yeah.
I was really pleasantly surprised. I put the phone out in the sun for about, you know, 15, 20 minutes. I didn't put it in rice when I got home, and it has not missed a beep. So
now I read a thing that said the whole rice thing is actually a
wives' tale.
Yeah, it's a myth. It doesn't actually work.
Like, okay, well, so then there you go.
But your phone works now.
It's totally beautiful.
Fine.
Yeah,
that's
great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I think the thing that always scares me, and my watch is this way, it says water resistant up to 3 meters.
I'm like, yeah.
What does that mean, water resistant? Now, I have worn my watch in the pool many times, and it's fine.
Yeah.
But our pool is not 3 meters deep, you know, 5 feet, which is like less than 2 meters.
Right, right.
But, I always wondered, what if I went 9.1 meters? Would the watch explode or just die?
It would zap you and then just
yeah.
roll over and croak, yeah.
We're talking with Marianne today. I know a couple things you wanted to talk about. Let's talk a little bit about the rap tax.
Oh, yes.
What does that mean?
Oh, my goodness. That is something near and dear to my heart. It's the Recreation, Arts, and Parks tax.
Okay.
And this is something that's coming up for renewal this November. The RAP tax has been in place in Washington County for the last 10 years. It is one penny, 1/100th of a dollar on every $10 spent on non-food items. So that would be hotel stays, non-grocery items, those kinds of things. We've all been paying this for 10 years. We haven't really felt, you know, any kind of distress over it. It has nothing to do with what political party you belong to. This is, I think, all about the quality of life in St. George, because the RAP is for Recreation, Arts, and Parks. It helps to maintain our trail system, our pickleball courts, you know, the recreation programs, certainly the arts programs. If you're a fan of, you know, Heritage Choir or Southwest Symphony or Tuocon or any of those groups that put on wonderful, wonderful programs that really enhance the quality of life in St. George, these are programs that depend very, very heavily on this RAP tax. And if that goes away, a lot of these, especially the smaller organizations like the Desertscape Film Festival or some of those smaller groups, you know, it's a real hardship. And
I think our community has already made the statement, we want cool trails. We want great theater and we want all this stuff. I don't think, you know, there's a lot of, there's a movement out there, people saying, you pay too much tax. We need to get rid of all tax. We need, you know, and first of all, that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
And second of all, okay, well, what are you willing to give up if you're going to start cutting things, cutting taxes? And this is one of those, like I said, I feel like St. George and Washington County in general has said, we do want good trails. Mm-hmm. We do want pickleball courts. We do want all these things. And I know there's people listening right now that are saying, well, no, we don't. That just means more taxes. But I think a majority of people here want quality of life. Yeah. That's what it's all about. That's why we're here.
Exactly.
Otherwise, we could move to Manti or something. You know?
I mean, every time you're out on one of our beautiful trails or you're playing pickleball at a Little Valley or something, those are the places that are really, really, you know, heavily dependent on this kind of support from, you know, our taxes. And I think it's really super important. I'm not a, you know, not a big tax increase person, but we've been paying this now for the last 10 years, and I don't think it's worked a huge hardship on, you know, the residents here. So I would really urge people, if you're really interested in the quality of life in St. George, to vote this back in November.
It's called the RAP tax. It'll be on the ballot then, so we'll actually see it. And does it explain much on the ballot of what it is? Because I think a lot of people maybe not listening to this show, maybe don't do a whole lot of research, will get the ballot and go, no, what is this?
It's a tax. It looks, you know, it's kind of scary. I would encourage your listeners to do some homework. It's really simple to find. In fact, last week, Maury Kessler from St. George News did a terrific write-up about the RAP tax. It was written after he'd attended an event that a lot of the city leaders had put on at a new, at a park, at Royal Oaks Park. And basically, Jimmy Hughes and Shane Moore from the city were saying, you know, this park was funded by RAP tax. And it's really, really important that if you like places like this, that you, you know, help this stay in place. And I know city residents last year passed the GO bond, the general obligation bond. That was $29 million. But that only covers new infrastructure. It can't be applied to, you know, renovating existing parks or something. So if you want to have a park that's falling apart or the slide or something is screwed up, that's not going to be covered by a GO bond.
By the GO bond, okay.
Yeah. So in that case, RAP will be coming into play and you can get the funds from there.
I think I live just up the road from the Middleton Park, and they are under the process of replacing all their playground equipment, and I would guess that's exactly what you're talking about.
Exactly. In addition to Royal Oaks and Mathis, other parks set to undergo renovations in the future include Middleton, Christensen Park, Springs Park, Sycamore Tree Park, and Boots Cox Park.
I don't know where that one is.
I have no idea.
Somebody should look that up.
We should.
I should get my crack staff to look up the boot.
Stockton, where are you?
Boots Cox?
C-O-X, Boots Cox.
I don't know that part.
I've not heard of
that. I'll bet there's somebody out there going, you idiot, it's right here.
Next door to me, yes.
I don't know where that is. I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah.
So, all right, so the RAP tax, I'm on record. I think it's a positive thing and something that we want. I think the community at large has said, we want quality of life stuff. We want pickleball courts. We want groomed trails that we can hike on. And, you know, we want the art. We want music. We want,
art around the corner.
Art around the corner.
Yes.
Things like that. So, and again, there's going to be people that are going to complain and say, well, get rid of all taxes.
I get that.
I understand.
But I think, you know, there was a lot of resistance when the GO bond was up for vote last year, and that actually passed overwhelmingly. So I think the people who appreciate the quality of life vastly outnumber those who are freaked out about a tiny increase in taxes.
Marianne, I feel like it really comes down to why do you live here?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If you like trails, if you like outdoors, if you like, you know, Tuacon, if you like the arts, that's why you're here. And if you don't like that stuff, yeah, you could go somewhere else, I guess, and not have a wrap tax or a geo tax, but then you wouldn't have that stuff.
It's a whole different quality of life, for sure. Yeah.
So what are you here for? So we're talking with Marianne Hamilton today, former Miss Senior Universe, our senior fitness guru. Later on in the show, we're going to talk about what, Marianne, as far as fitness?
Oh, vision.
Oh, yes. Interesting. We'll get into it a little bit more, but we talked a lot about how when you're hard of hearing, it affects your mental health.
Absolutely.
Because I've actually seen this. My dad is struggling a little bit with his hearing, and there are times when we're all having this conversation, and he doesn't know what we're talking about.
He's withdrawing, or he's not participating.
Yeah. And I feel bad. I'm like, gosh, I'd like him to participate, and he would like to participate, but if he can't tell what's going on, it's frustrating. But you did a little research and found that actually losing your vision is also
yeah, because I just had some issues with my vision, and we'll talk about that.
Okay.
And I've thought, well, is there I know there's a correlation between hearing loss and dementia. I thought, okay, what happens if you lose your vision? And there are some other things that are really not good that we should all be paying attention to.
Fascinating stuff. So we'll talk about that later on after the break here. I am going to talk with Joe a little bit more. And we'll talk about Dixie Days as well when we come back. Dixie Days is a new thing. This is kind of fascinating, Marianne, because, and we'll get into it more in a minute, but we have, of course, Swiss Days in Santa Clara and Peach Days in Hurricane and Cotton Days in Washington. And we didn't have days.
Our own days, yes. We had 4th of July. That's
Which, I mean, obviously,
wonderful.
We love celebrating America and 4th of July, but we didn't have any kind of St. George Days.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, well, what would it be? Out of water days? No, it's a hot and dry day. No, Dixie Days. I like it. Now, that's coming up before we go to break. What's the date on that?
Next week. It is starting off on September 8th.
So next Monday.
Yeah, next Monday, 8th through the 14th.
Nice. Okay. Well, let's do this. Let's get a weather break in. Our weather right now, our weather forecast is not up to date, so I'm going to do the weather myself, and then we will talk with Joe for a minute, and then we'll be back with more from Marianne after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
All right, Roy was all over it, Marianne. He said, I know where Boots Cox Park is.
Okay.
Roy says, Boots Cox Park is over by Heritage Elementary north of their grass field. Boots Cox owned the dairy in town, which is now Morningside Park. Boots always wore his rubber boots all over town, which got him the name. He was a really good man.
Oh, that's so
cool. There you go. Thank you, Roy, for educating us.
Thanks, Roy.
Us uneducated swine, we now know a little bit.
There are so many parks here, it's hard to keep track
of
all of them.
There are a lot of parks.
We're lucky to have those.
And then they changed it. This used to be, you know, the Bluff Street Park or the Bluff Street Soccer Park. Now it's Sandtown Park across the street here from us. So
this is where I'll be getting the bus at 3:30 in the morning for the St. George Half Marathon on October 5th.
Yeah?
3:30 a.m. Yay.
Are you going to bust out and run a little bit, or are you still going to just speed walk?
I'll race walk the whole time.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll be race walking and Michelle Graves will be running, and we sort of go at the same speed.
Her running and your race walking the same speed. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. Very cool. One of these days I'm going to get in shape and do that kind of stuff.
I'll give you a power walking lesson, Andy.
I don't know if I told you before, but for many years, as a sports writer, I covered the marathon. And some of the stories, when they come across the field, are so inspiring. And, and almost every year that I did it, I'm like, I'm doing it next year. And I would go out, and the day after the marathon, the day after that, I would run, and I'd get out about a mile, and I'd be like, ugh.
This is not
going to
end
And then a mile and a half, I'm like, ugh. And then 2 miles, I'm like, I'm never running again.
I'm a little concerned because it's been so hot. It's kind of hard to get out in the morning and do a lot of miles because you just are dying by about 9 o'clock. So I'm in
it has been so warm.
In the best shape that I should be, unfortunately. I'm hoping this month will be a little bit cooler.
Now, when's this half you're running?
It's the same morning.
Right,
October 5th, Saturday morning. Yeah.
So are you going to be there for a morning interview?
Oh, of course.
If I'm not
bent over weeping or something, yes. Curled up in the fetal position.
Not in the hospital.
Oh, also, because I'm insane in a moment.
No, I wasn't going to say anything, but yeah.
No, even more so insane. I decided I'd try something new at the senior games this year.
Okay.
So I signed up for a 4-woman indoor rowing relay team.
Somebody actually asked my wife to join that.
Oh, cool.
Maybe probably not the same age group because she's only 55.
No, you can do, if you're doing a relay, you can join.
She's like, yes, they asked me to join the rowing team. And I'm like, rowing in St. George?
Yes.
They don't actually go on a lake. It's an indoor rowing machine.
Yeah, they set up a whole line at them at the Dixie Center. And apparently it's really, really, really funny. This one in particular, because it's a relay. I spoke to the race director and she said it's the funniest thing you've ever seen. So one person is rowing, and you have 4 people on a team for a 2,000-meter row, right?
Okay.
Yeah, we're each doing 500 meters, right? And then, so one's on either side of you, so you're rowing your brains out. You're hoping to finish your 500 meters in less than 2 minutes, which is pretty fast.
Yes, it is.
And then, then you have to get your feet out of the straps. So one of your teammates on each foot grabs your...
Trying to get you out.
Yes. And you basically roll over and fall on the floor and try and gasp your breath, back. And then you rotate. And then that goes for, all 4 people.
Wow.
Our 4 ladies have not done this together before, so it should be pretty hilarious. But I did get really wonderful tank tops made for all of us, so...
Okay. You're going to be a team. Do you have a team name?
We are. We're the St. George's Gals.
George's Gals.
George's Gals, yes.
I like it.
No matter how slow we are, we'll look great. That'll be fun.
Now, tell me about the rowing machine. Is it weighted? Is there a specific weight that you're pulling while you're rowing?
I think you're allowed to set it at whatever you want when you come on, but then you can't change it as you're there. And I'm not sure if it's...
So if you get tired and it's too heavy, you're like, too bad.
Too bad, yeah. And I don't know if they established that for your team at the beginning or what. I have to, find the particulars here. I've never done this before, so I'm kind of not really conversant, but...
So I would think, like, say, a 170-pound girl, and then you would not be pulling the same weight because you're only, like, 80 pounds, right?
Well, hardly. But I'm a lot more than that. We have one gal who is really, really, really strong, and she's actually one of our baby seniors. She just turned 50, so she's our ringer, And we have one who's 68, one who's 70, and then me. So, and it's interesting. It's based on your combined years. That's which category you're in.
Combined years of the whole team. So you could have a 50-year-old, a 60-year-old, a 70-year-old, and an 80-year-old in the combined years. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how they award prizes.
All right, so next Monday is when Dixie Day starts, right?
Dixie Day starts, yep.
On the 9th?
On the 9th.
Okay, exactly. And it goes all week long?
I'm sorry, it starts on the 8th.
Oh, it starts on the 8th.
Yeah.
Sunday the 8th. Oh, there's a devotional, right?
Yes,
Sunday night?
At the Tabernacle at 7 o'clock. And that's about a talk called Dixie Homecoming.
Okay.
From Stephen Snow. And then basically the things get kicking off on Monday morning. There's a golf tournament at Southgate Golf Club at 9 o'clock, but unfortunately that's already sold out. So if you are a golf fan, maybe you could, line up along.
And did you ever get your golf game going? Are you a golfer at all?
I am. I have golfed.
I have golfed, but I wouldn't call myself a golfer. That's like me now.
I'm a 30-year beginner is what I am. Amateur. Very, very amateur. I do it for the socialization. It's just fun to be out there in the sunshine.
Yeah.
But I'll never, Actually, Doug gave me 4 lessons for Christmas, and I've still been waiting to take those. So.
Is he a decent golfer?
He's a really good golfer, but yeah. I mean, he paid for lessons with a pro, which I have not been able to sign up to for yet. But
In the 90s, mm-hmm. Early 90s, I golfed a lot. I mm-hmm. loved golf. I spent a lot of time in golf. I actually played in the Nevada Pro-Am.
Oh, wow.
And we finished in, I think, second place overall. And,
nice.
And it was really a good time. And that is, believe it or not, the last time I played 18 holes of golf, 1995.
95.
I played 9 holes. I've done driving range and, you know, big mm-hmm. shots and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. I have not played a full round of golf in... What was that, 29 years?
And Andy, he would still beat me royally if we went out and played together. I love playing with the girls at Dixie Red Hills. That's a great place to play. And it's, you know, it's a forgiving course. It's a, you know, executive length course, and it's beautiful. Yeah. But I don't belong on a regulation length course.
But, you know, being a senior fitness guru, you could definitely endorse golf as being something that's very good for
absolutely.
You, especially if you don't get a cart.
You don't get a cart, yeah. And just, you know, bring your pull cart. You don't,
it's still good for you if
is.
You have a cart,
yeah.
But it's a lot better for you if you're actually walking it.
Exactly. And, you know, you don't have to carry your clubs. You can get a pull cart. But just being out there and walking is just, there's nothing better. There's nothing better.
Yeah. I don't recommend going at 3 o'clock in the afternoon until maybe in November.
Yeah.
Or at least October. But,
there's a reason why the golf costs go down significantly in summertime in St. George.
So back when I was sports editor of the local paper here, me and my assistant used to go on weekdays at 2 or 3 in the afternoon in the summer because, number one, it was way cheaper.
Way cheap.
And number two, there was nobody on the course. We could go through the whole course in record time. So, all right. So golf tournament is on, that's Monday?
That's the 9th. Yeah, Monday.
Okay.
Also that evening, there's one of the coolest things of the entire week. It's the Dixie Drone Show, which is.
Oh, yeah. I've been hearing about
that. 9 o'clock at night.
So what do you know? Is there a sneak preview? Do we know what they're going to be?
I do not. I think it's sort of a combination of, it's sort of like, you know, fireworks without the things catching on fire.
And
a light show.
That is cool.
Yeah, so that'll be at the Red Hills Desert Garden, and basically you can see it any place you can see the Red Hills.
I was gonna say, that's right there.
Yes.
So
right. Yeah. You could sit here in your studio and be cool.
I could, except I don't want to be here at night.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, I can appreciate that.
Because I got to get here early in the morning.
Yeah. Then we're doing film screenings all week at the Electric Theater, free films for the entire community.
Okay, are these like classic films, you know? Or?
Let's see, Moonshot. There's the one, My Father's Highway, about the gorge being, you know, constructed.
Oh,
with,
cool.
I think that was Jimmy Hughes's father or grandfather or somebody.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and then Preservation in Progress. I don't know what that one is. There'll be a photography exhibit also at the Social Hall all week that basically explores, you know, the history of the pioneers and the cotton mission and all of that. There's an interpretive trail ribbon cutting for a new park at 10 o'clock on the 10th. Pioneer Park Interpretive Trail.
Oh, I heard about that. That the trail basically helps, as you're walking the trail, helps educate you about the area.
It has,
I like that.
Contains interpretive signage to tell the story of St. George's origins and the surrounding nature.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. Nice. Also, you can take Dixie treks throughout the day on the 10th and 11th to different points of interest in St. George. Maybe those parks we don't know about, you know.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the roundup, the rodeo is just, you know, always such a huge, huge, huge thing in St. George. That's 12th to the 14th on the sun at the Sun Bowl at 7:30 at night.
Okay, I got to ask you. I go over to the bank. I pull out $1,000 cash and say, Marianne, I'll give you $1,000 if you'll ride a bull. Would you do it?
$1,000
cash for 8 seconds.
I think that wisdom would prevail, and I would say, I'm sorry.
No. And okay, is there a price?
No,
if it was $10,000?
I would ask you to give the $1,000 to a charity of your choice.
Okay.
Yeah, that would not be a good thing.
I don't know that I would either. And not, actually, I'm not afraid of riding the bull, but when you ultimately get bucked off,
mm-hmm.
and you always do, even the studs, they get bucked off eventually.
Do you get trampled?
With my back surgeries and stuff, the landing would be very, very bad.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
And then the bull would come after you.
Exactly. And I've had a cervical fusion in my neck, so I don't need to get that snapped off again. So.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one.
I would be happy to just wave and cheer and yell at people, and that'd be fine.
What about a bucking bronc? Would you ride a wild horse?
I just think that, you know, there are animals that don't need to be interfered with by humans. Those are a couple of them. Especially a small person that could fly off.
Well, I was going to say, they'll interfere you back is what they'll do.
Yes, and after they throw you off, they trample you, you know.
Yeah.
So, no, thank you. But, you know, it's fun to watch the rodeo, and it really is remarkable to watch those guys that can perform those kinds of tricks and stay on.
What night is the rodeo?
That's the 12th to the 14th, 12th, 13th, 14th.
Oh, so 3 nights.
Three nights at the Sun Bowl at 7:30. My favorite thing coming up is the Dinner on Main.
I've been hearing about that.
Yes, we have tickets to that. It's Friday night, September 13th from 5 to 9.
So is it three or four restaurants? And they've signed up and you get to sit and eat outdoors, right?
Yes, on Main Street. They're closing down from, the Boulevard to Tabernacle, which will be fun. And four different restaurants, I think Wood Ash Rye, Social District,
Picarica,
and then the new Sandtown Pizza. And they're each providing like five course meals. I mean, they're pretty, it's not inexpensive, but you get a lot of food. And, you know, the fun experience of being outside with the community on Main Street having dinner. So that'll be fun.
That's really cool.
And then the next day is the final of the big grand finale. There's a Dixie Dash 2K and 4K race.
Okay.
Yeah, down Tabernacle.
2K is like 1.1 miles.
Exactly.
It's pretty short.
Yeah, you can just walk it and have a good time with your family. And then there's the parade at 9 o'clock. And I'll be in the parade waving.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun. And then basically the rest of the day, there'll be stuff going on at Town Square with, you know, food and entertainment.
Booths,
music,
and
trucks.
Yeah. And, okay.
Fun stuff. Then at 6 o'clock, there'll be a concert with Chris Peterson. And then at 8 o'clock, we can all watch a free screening of The Electric Horseman. I think that's also at the Electric Theater.
That the old Robert Redford movie?
Yes. Okay. That was filmed partially in
That's right.
Yeah.
Very cool. Dixie Days coming up next week.
A lot going on.
All right. Let's get a commercial break in. When we come back, we'll talk about, being maybe shut out from your world and how frustrating that can be.
And kind of dangerous, too.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy Griffin. This is the Andy Griffin Show. Tomorrow, Dr. Blodgett on the program. I haven't talked to him for a few months, so it'll be good to have him back. And Marianne was here last month. I was not, though. Thank you for coming in anyway.
It was really fun with Mello. She did a terrific job.
She did.
You're not in any danger of being replaced, but she's good. She and Stockton are
great. That's always the radio host's wish.
Worst nightmare. Yeah.
Do a good job, but not a great job.
Not too good.
So anyway, but I appreciate you coming in and talking with Mello, even though I was out of the country.
Wouldn't seem right if I were at, you know, KDXU for a month.
One of the things that, you know, in going to Europe, I was just so impressed with the architecture and the art and just and I'm not an art guy per se, but it was so beautiful. But it also brought into focus, no pun intended, the importance of eyesight.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, we talked about on this show many times that when you're losing your hearing, it kind of takes you out of a lot of normal everyday life. Your family's sitting there having a conversation in the living room, your extended family, and you can't hear most of it.
Yeah.
You're kind of isolated.
And you're kind of nodding and going,
And you feel bad and you want to partake of it and you want to participate and you think of something cool to say and you're like, well, maybe they already said it. I don't know if I can say that. And it does affect your mental health. But you were telling me that actually losing your vision can also be a big part of affecting your mental health.
Very definitely. So I actually have had cataract surgery in both eyes 2 years ago.
So they were starting to cloud over?
Yes. About probably 5 or 6 years ago, my right eye started having some issues, but it wasn't bad enough that ophthalmologist said, oh, you know, it'll continue, and it's not quite mature enough for surgery. And then when I went 2 years ago, they said, oh, yeah, both eyes, you can benefit from that. Huh. And Medicare will actually pay for the most basic. What they do is they open up your eyeball and, you know, scrape out the part that's occluding your vision.
Don't say scrape.
Okay, they laser it out.
Okay.
And you're basically out of it. It's the same sort of anesthesia as when you have a colonoscopy. So you're just kind of like, you see some really freaky light show, but that's it. And you don't remember anything afterwards. And then they will implant a lens in your eyeball so you can see. And Medicare will pay for the most basic one, but you still have to wear reading glasses afterwards. And maybe your distance won't be as acute as it could be.
Right.
If you want to pay, you know, for the premium lenses, which is what my husband, who's wonderful, said, you know.
Thank you, Doug.
If you're going to have this done, just get the best thing. So I have no need for reading glasses.
Oh, cool.
I have, you know, beautiful mid-distance and then long distance is really, really, really great, which I had never, my entire life I wore really thick Coke bottle glasses.
I have a hard time imagining. I haven't known you since you did that.
No, exactly. Yeah. And I, you know, had contact lenses my whole life. And to be this age and have 20/20 vision is just
very cool.
Absolutely remarkable.
Very cool.
Yeah. So
tell me about the cataracts part of it.
Yeah.
I was always curious, when did you start noticing it, or did it just slowly start fading, or how did you?
Yeah, so things got a little fuzzy. I really noticed it the most at nighttime. Mm-hmm. My nighttime vision was really getting bad.
And mine is that way. If it's dim lighting, I have a hard time reading.
Yeah, that's a big part of aging, is that, you know, we need more lighting to be able to read successfully. And so I was also noticing that there was sort of like a ring around lights when dark cars were coming at me and things. And it was just like, oh, this isn't good. I'm afraid I'm going to, well, I noticed it the worst when I was trying to read addresses in, you know, in a new area at nighttime when I was driving. And I'd have to be almost on top of the street sign to see it.
Uh-oh, because that sounds really familiar.
Yeah. Get your eyes checked, Andy.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought, okay, I'm going to go ahead and have this done. And my ophthalmologist and surgeon basically said, when you have this done, you're going to be so mad that you didn't do it sooner. And they were absolutely correct. As soon as I had the second one done, I had them done 1 week apart. And then when I had the second one finished, literally when you come up out of the anesthesia, you go, oh my God, I can see across the street. And the colors are incredibly vibrant. And the change is absolutely remarkable.
So talk about vision and mental health now.
Yeah. So there's a whole thing about, they did a study of about 1,200 older adults in 2020. And they were trying to decide, you know, whether visual acuity loss has an association with, you know, dementia or decreases in memory or language or that kind of thing. And they really, really did find out that there's a real strong connection, especially with contrast sensitivity, which is basically how you see stuff around you and how you navigate through stuff, you know.
Okay.
And when your vision decreases that way and you have worse contrast sensitivity, it's associated with declines in language and memory and attention and all those kinds of ways of getting through life. So, of course, if you can't see as well and you don't want to have you can't afford to have the surgery, or you can't afford, you know, correction through lenses or something, or you just are afraid of doctors or something. If you can't see, you're going to start, I think, being less connected as you would normally be.
Yeah.
Also, if you can't see stuff around you when you're driving, that's very, very, very scary.
True.
And you're not going to be responding as quickly. You're not going to be processing information as it's coming at you, or seeing, you know, possible hurdles or things that are in your way. So it's super, super important. I mean, we've talked about this before with the whole hearing thing, because I had to get hearing appliances. People associate that with, oh my God, I'm getting old.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, we all get old if we're lucky, right?
Yeah, I was going to say the other choice.
Consider the alternative, yeah. So it's just, you know, I wear my hearing devices as a badge of honor, because I ruined my hearing by listening to loud rock and roll my entire life.
Yeah.
And my vision, because I was, you know, a book nerd from the time I was 6 or 7, and I was reading Nancy Drew books like this under the covers at nighttime, and I ruined my vision pretty early on, but. You know, all kidding aside, it's just super important to stay up on top of that so that you can live the best life possible. And there's no shame. It's a part of the process. Our vision degrades as we get older in most cases. And I think it's a sign of strength and courage and intelligence to take care of that and not let it go.
I think a lot of old school doctors were like, no, that doesn't have anything to do with it, your mental health. But now we're finding it's all integrated. How much you can hear, how much you can see, even how much you can feel. If you have neuropathy, you maybe don't feel as well with your fingers or your feet. And I think that all doctors now are starting to come on board and say, yeah, maybe it is all interconnected. And I think the
whole mind body connection is huge. It's huge. And if something's not, you know, not firing in all the pistons, you know, the machine's not going to work properly. And I think it's just really important. I mean, if your house is falling into disrepair, there's no shame in having that renovated. Well, if your body is having some issues, it's really, really smart to go and take care of that.
I was just thinking about, you know, we remember, say you meet somebody and I might remember that he has gray hair or blonde hair and maybe a silver cap on one of his teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you can't see that,
or you
can't really make it, like you were saying, the contrast, mm-hmm. the details, mm-hmm. It would make him, how do I remember that person? Well, I don't hear so good, so I don't remember their voice that well anyway. And it's all connected. You're right.
It is. And, age doesn't have to be a scary thing. Aging doesn't have to be a scary process, but you need to take care of the stuff that, after a while the hubcaps start falling off and you need to kind of make sure that you put them back on and that they're safely bolted in place.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Marianne, it's always a pleasure having you on and really advising us on things we need to be cognizant of and aware of, and vision is certainly a big one. So
thanks, Andy.
You're always welcome on the show, and thanks for coming on. I guess we'll see you in a month.
See you in a month. Take care.
Marianne Hamilton. I'm Andy Griffin. Again, Dr. Blodgett tomorrow. Looking forward to it. And we'll talk to you then.